And welcome in to Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Happy opening day of the Major League Baseball season. Over in the
Seoul, South Korea.
Seoul, South Korea. I was trying to figure out in my mind. I didn't want to say the wrong city, but South Korea. Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. If you woke up and you didn't know, you're not alone, but that happened.
It was a great game.
Mookie Betts went 2-for-4. So the Dodgers are 1-0, and they're going to win a lot of games. They're really good. But fun way to start the day. We've got the March Madness going on. Man, we've got a lot of stuff going on. The brackets are out. People filling them out. Tournament got going last night. The Predators got another win last night, 8-2. They put a snowman on the board against the Sharks. The Sharks are not very good, but the Sharks led the game 2-1. As it almost got to halftime, midway through the second period, and then the Predators put another gear into orbit there, and they just blew them out.
Yeah.
So, D-Mace, I've been noticing this the last couple of times. You've got your lighting that you like to do, because you know back in the day you could roll in, you could be doing whatever you wanted here, but now we want to look presentable because we're on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all that stuff, and D-Mace has this lighting thing.
Yeah.
And it's not hooked up right, so we're having to tape it down. I feel like we need better tape. Do you guys need better tape to get this? Like, I have some duct tape.
Nah, it's fine. I mean, listen.
We got some saggage.
You got to Jimmy rig it, man. I don't know who Jimmy is, but
or Jerry.
Jerry rig it.
Jerry's world.
Yeah, but we got a Jimmy Jerry.
Oh, there's definitely some rigging.
Right here. Yeah, I got tape on it. I mean, come on, man. You got to be resourceful. I'm like MacGyver over here.
Okay.
I'm like MacGyver.
I feel
for
like
all of those
I feel like
that
the duct
may
tape
know
I have,
who MacGyver is.
I feel like I have duct tape that would be better to help this. If people want to watch
Gorilla
on YouTube.
Glue?
Gorilla Glue might help.
Yeah, I love Gorilla Glue.
I don't have any Gorilla Glue in there. But I'll tell you what. It's a fun time of the year. Another good win for the Predators last night. We're scheduled to talk to Jonathan Hutton today as well. We're going to get into some Titans things. There's always that next the next maneuver that could be happening. Second wave of free agency, if you will. So that's going on as well. The Titans, looks like they have signed Nick Folk. So that's, if anybody was worried that he wasn't going to be back next year.
He's back.
Don't worry. He's in there.
Dude, what is he, 40, 30? How old is he, Nick Folk?
Nick Folk, I believe it's going to be 40 next year.
Remind me of Anderson.
He's getting up there.
He's 39.
Yeah, Jerry Anderson.
40 on November the 5th.
Okay, so he'll turn 40 during the season.
Oh,
next year.
Okay.
Okay.
Reminds me of Gary Anderson.
Now, Gary
you
Anderson.
Remember Gary was like 50, though. Gary was old, but he came through when we needed him.
I haven't seen Gary Anderson in 10 years, but I'll bet you if you rolled him out there right now and asked him to hit it from 40 and in.
Oh, he could.
He could hit it.
I think he could. He'd come right. Because I think he, because back in the day, you know, the thing with Gary was, Gary only worked really 3 days a week. Because he didn't have to be there Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. He would get there Thursday, Friday, and then kick Sunday.
And then
he'd go back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Fly fishing, and he loved fly fishing and all this other stuff. So he came through for us big in Baltimore.
That is one of the funniest stories. And Jeff Fisher was on the show with Chase and Joe in the last couple hours talking about the Arena League. But that is a great story from back in the day when Joe Nedney hurt his knee. He was out for the year. He was a good kicker for the Titans, a good team. They needed a kicker bad. And they convinced Gary Anderson to come out of retirement, who he loved to fly fish, wherever that was. I don't know if it was in Montana or Minnesota or what.
It was
way away from Nashville.
Because he's from wasn't he from Canada? I think he was from Canada. He used to fly fish in Canada, I believe. But, you know, hey, listen, when you need a kicker, you need a kicker.
And so they made a deal with him. Look, if you'll just show up on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it was, we'll let you spend the rest of the week and go back home. You can
and
go
was
back
great.
Yep, and that's what happened. He showed up late in the week. He got his kicks in, and he did the job. And he hit the game-winning field goal in Baltimore in the wild card game to win it.
And it was like a 40, what was it, a 45,
45, 46. It was up there. And it didn't make it by more than 2 yards.
Like a yard or two. It just crossed the upright. But that's all we needed him
for. That's right. That's right. Oh, man. That was a good story. He, one of the all-time greats, for sure. Yeah. So Nick Folk, who was – he had a great year last year. I mean, he silenced all of the, hey,
critics.
What's going on with the kicker? That's a revolving door. Why can't they find a kicker? That all completely hushed
went
up.
Away.
Yeah. So bringing him back, I think, was a good move. For sure, as long as, you know, Father Time doesn't catch up. But kickers tend to last long. If he stays in shape, he probably is not the guy that's got the deepest range. But remember, Jared was questioning from the start, does he have the range? And he hit plenty of kicks from over 50 last year.
Yeah, I think Jared was like more so a kickoff. But then, as we found out, that's the way they wanted them kicked when he was in New England.
Oh,
they
didn't
want him kicked through the uprights. They wanted him kicked, you know, around the 2-3 yard line to give the kickoff team an opportunity to, you know, to tackle the guy inside the 20. So it was done by design. But let's talk about those Predators. Last night they did exactly what they should have done. It got a little hairy there for a minute. And I need to ask you a question about something too, but I'll ask you that in a second, Willie. But they went down 2-1, and I'm thinking like, oh, man, like, is it going to be – because I don't want to believe in trap games. I really don't, because players are not wired that way. We just go out and we play and we try to, you know, put forth the, you know, the best effort for that night, always trying to give 100% effort. But some nights are different than others. So I don't necessarily prescribe or buy into a trap game. But, man, when they went down 2-1, I'm thinking like, oh, man, what's going on here? And this is a game I was listening to Barry with Jared yesterday.
Yeah, and you go back really and sounded listen the to, alarm. Yeah, he said, I'm worried
go back
about
and listen
game.
To that, yeah. that interview. It was another good interview by Jared and Barry, GM Barry. But he even spoke of it being like one of those – he was worried about one of those, you know, this game in particular, because you got a bad team coming in – and you've been playing so well, and you just don't want to let your foot off the gas pedal. And sometimes when you're playing a bad team, you kind of coast, and you pick it up when you need to, and sometimes that works, but then sometimes it doesn't.
They were just a little bit off in the first 20, 25 minutes of the game, and they were still out shooting the Sharks. They had plenty of chances, but they just weren't quite humming along like they have been. And you could see on their bench, they had a little bit of that feeling of, okay, what's up? Let's get this together. You know, Hal Gill, I thought, had an interesting point. In games like that, he said, in the first intermission in the locker room, sometimes you almost have to generate some emotion, right? You don't hate the other team. You know they're a struggling team. Nobody on that opposite lineup scares you. There's no, like, villains out there. So you have to generate that level that you've got to get to. And I think that's where they've been given a lot. Andrew Burnett has really made this point a few times, that when they have had something go wrong, give up a goal or struggle for a patch, they've been able to rebound and then turn it back up. And obviously, when they did last night, the Sharks had no answers. Yeah, Sharks traded a couple guys. They're really struggling right now. There's a few teams right now that, unless they're playing one of the other bad teams, you're hard pressed for them to even pull an upset, and it's kind of like, for example, Minnesota is taking full advantage of playing a bunch of games against the Ducks, the Sharks, and some of the other teams.
Team.
Yeah, and they're piling up points. They're staying in the race. Mm-hmm. The Golden Knights lost last night again.
Good for the Predators.
And the Predators are still 5 points ahead of the Golden Knights for the first wild card spot. So the Golden Knights are the ones that might be feeling a little back pressure now from Minnesota, who is pushing up. They're within three. So
do they have any games in hand?
I think the games are I think Vegas has one game in hand, I think, over Minnesota. So it's not a shoe-in that Vegas makes the playoffs. It's still not 100% a shoe-in that Nashville makes the playoffs. But with each passing win, you know, when you do get one of those teams – you've got to hold serve, right? You can't let one of those two opportunities to get 2 points slip away. And I was glad to see Nashville, because once they broke through, the it's like the dam breaks, the water starts flowing. The Sharks were like, is the game over yet?
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't wave the white flag, like, we give up.
We won't try to score. If you guys won't try to score, let's just keep the clock running. Uh-huh. I felt bad. Their goalie got absolutely peppered.
He might as well pull the no mas.
Yeah. Roberto Duran.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he had a look on his face going, guys, if y'all aren't going to play, can I just take the rest of the night off?
Go and go in the locker
room. Peek over to the benches. You guys want to put the other goalie in just to give him a little chance to play?
Oprah in the audience last night? You get a goal. Yeah. You get a
Everybody
goal.
Everybody
gets a goal.
It was, man.
Was happy to see. I mean, this is not the original question that I wanted to ask you, Willie, but I get to that. And maybe some fans want to know, you know, the answer to what I'm going to ask you, too. But before that, Tyson Barry. I was so excited when I thought he scored the goal, but it ended up being a tip-in. But he ended up getting an assist. And, you know, you see a situation like that, and we talked about this briefly yesterday about Tyson Barry. How the way he handled the situation, the way Barry handled the situation, the way it didn't seem like there was any animosity between the player and the GM or the player and the coach. Because a lot of times you see situations when you know you're on the trading blocks, players tend to get a little resentful, you know, and they're not 100% in because they feel, listen, you want to trade me away anyway. So obviously, you're not 100% in, so why should I be? Some players tend to take that approach, but it seems like Tyson Barry didn't take that approach. Everything that we've gotten, he's been a great guy in the locker room. He hasn't shown, you know, any sort of effects of the stress or the anxiety of potentially being moved, even though, you know, he probably, at the time, probably thought, hey, listen, me going somewhere else is probably better anyway. I get more of a chance to, you know, be who I want to be as far as player or showcase the things that I need to showcase. But the way everybody handled it, I think is why Tyson Barry is able to play the way he's playing now. Because it's like, okay, yeah, you tried to do what you needed to do. You were up front with me. You were honest with me, Barry. You didn't try to hide anything. When I get my chance, I'm going to go out there and play. And that's what he's doing. He's gotten his opportunity, and now he's going out there, and he's being a contributor.
Yeah, I think all of that, what you said, is dead on. And you think about the way a career can go. He's a guy that is in the last year of his contract, and you know his mind is like, am I going to get another contract? And if so, how much of a pay cut am I going to have to take? Because he had a really good contract on the last one, and he deserved to get that. He earned that contract, right? And then when he got traded last year for Matthias Ekholm in that package that Nashville got back, he played really well. So I think he came into the season thinking, I'll have another good year, I'll play a lot, and I'll earn the next contract. And then when he got sort of beat out and he wasn't playing, I think he probably, I don't want to say panic, but he probably had a talk with his
agent,
his inner circle, and said, well, what do we do here? I got to get out of here. I got to play. I can't earn a contract if I'm not playing.
Exactly.
And so Barry Trotz, remember, was not happy when the message first got out that he had asked for this and they've agreed to let his people talk to other teams. But then once he got over that hump, I think that's where all the things that you said came into play. Number one, you had a coach that has been a player, right? He was a player for a long time. He knows what it's like to be in a contract year, right, in his own shoes. So I think he could sympathize. He could understand what Barry was going through more so than a coach, and there's a lot of them in the league now, that weren't great players. They didn't play in the league very long, but they're great coaches. But they may not be able to relate as much to a veteran player like Barry. So I think that even-keeled disposition and perspective that Brunette has was important. Also, you had Luke Shen. You had Ryan McDonagh, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. That
veterans.
Leadership group.
Yes.
That, and especially Shen, who goes back and knows and has known Barry for a long time. I think that helped sort of massage the situation. I mean, Barry went through, you could watch, he was around the team for weeks, and mm-hmm. he was the guy just wandering around. Remember, for a while, he was injured, but it didn't really matter whether he was injured or not, because he was just kind of there but not there, right? He wasn't skating with the team, and you're just like, what are they going to do with this guy? So he was really in limbo for a long time. So credit to him for staying in there, staying involved. And then if you notice, you started hearing people refer to him, even when he wasn't playing. When this streak started, hey, TB2s, he's got us involved. He gives us, you know, he's got a certain kind of beer that I guess he was sharing with the team after they won. And so, like, they kept him involved, right? They kept him part of the group. He's a real personable guy. That's one of his strengths, right, is his personality, his sense of humor. He's the guy that you want to be around. So they kept him engaged, and then when the opportunity came for him to play, like you said, he was ready to play. He's had two good games. His numbers were excellent last night. Almost everybody's were. But I like how he's jumped in there and grabbed this role. And now, look, he's going to play the next few weeks for sure, I would say.
Yeah,
and
so he should.
If they're going to keep playing well, he's going to be a part of that.
Now, the other question that I have for you, Willie, and it irked me. Oh, I'm watching it, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Second period, 20-some seconds left in the game, in the period. And they're sitting around lollygagging with the puck. I'm like, somebody shoot. Do y'all know? Is anybody looking at the clock like it's going down? And just because it needs to go in the net before time runs out. Have y'all forgotten the rules? Like, what is oh, Willie, you just don't know. I was screaming at the time. And then they score a goal. Like, they scored the goal. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what are you? Like, didn't nobody on the ice say, hey, shoot it. Just shoot it.
Yeah.
Somebody shoot it. And they just kept passing and going in the circles. Like, it's just it was one of those deals where I felt like it was the end of the game. And they were like, we don't want to make it bad for anybody. So we'll just pass it and play with the puck. Or, you know, in basketball, they just dribble the ball out. And like, we ain't going to. I'm like, just shoot the puck.
It's the second
you never
period.
Know what's going to happen.
It was the second period. You're right. And it was 4-2. They had the puck. They had all the momentum. They're trying to. A goal there, I think, would have even put the game away at that point. I think if it gets to 5-2. It's over.
Exactly.
And in the third period, they kept right on going, and they put it away anyway. But for those that didn't see, they scored, but it was right after the buzzer sounded. It was about a half a second after. I've been amazed over the years how quickly you can put a puck in with less than a second left. It goes in so quick. You're thinking, there's no way that beat the buzzer. And then you look at the replay, and sure enough, it did. But this one didn't. And you're right. They didn't shoot with enough time on the clock to make it happen.
It was a great shot.
It was a great shot. But it's not like basketball where you're like, play for the last shot. One shot.
As long as I get it out of my hand, it doesn't matter.
You don't really want to do that in hockey. I mean, obviously, you don't want to give up a breakaway going the other way because you're all up at the goal. But you know, with 3 or 4 seconds, you probably should shoot it. That was weird. I did think they passed up a couple of chances to shoot there. I don't think that was by design, that they waited for the last second to shoot, and they waited a half a second too long. But that was a weird play.
Yeah, it was. I'm looking at the TV. I'm like, somebody please shoot the puck. Like, just get it on net. I mean, you may get a rebound and hit it in. And then who shot? It wasn't Novak that shot. Was it Novak?
Oh, or I can't remember who tipped. I think Cole Smith had the tip that it went in. I don't know who shot it from the outside. You remember, Nick?
I was on the game last night. I
forgot who shot it. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, seriously? Y'all score goal, you went top shelf, score goal, but it don't count. Like, come on, you can't be mad at anybody, and our fans are booing. Why are y'all booing? It wasn't a goal.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be upset with the players. Like, you're taking your time. It's a sense of urgency, people, a sense of urgency. That's all I wanted to say.
So, fine-tune that thing.
That's the only complaint I have about that whole game.
Okay.
That moment.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Now, you've got a really interesting story coming up on Thursday where the Predators, in order to set the record of most consecutive point streak, they tied it last night, a franchise record. The league record is still way off. You got to keep going a long time before that. I don't know if that's gettable, but because I think it's in the 30s, maybe, something like that. Back in the days where you could tie, well, and now it doesn't matter. You get an overtime loss, the point streak continues. But they play Florida, and Florida is you know, I think by a lot of people, if you asked a lot of people, you would get a lot of votes for Florida to be the best team, best all-around team in the league. They're behind the Bruins by 3 points for the overall lead in the East, but they have 2 games in hand on the Bruins, and the Bruins are obviously an awesome team. They beat the Bruins in that famous playoff series last year as the second wild card against the top team in the league, pulled the upset. But they have 94 points. They're plus 59 on the year. So to keep the streak going, you've got to beat a really tough team down there. But the other subplot is Andrew Burnett was the coach of the Panthers 2 years ago. He got the job when Joel Quenneville was fired because of something that had happened, you know, the off-ice thing years ago.
Did they win the championship when he was there, Burnett?
They won the President's Trophy. They had the best record in the regular season. Then they beat Peter Laviolette in the Capitals in the first round, just ran them right out of the building, and then lost to Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa.
Their arch rival, and it didn't go well. And there were a lot of people who said, oh, look, the Wiley vets, Tampa, and their coach John Cooper, they outcoached the young coach Andrew Burnett. I still to this day don't exactly know what that meant, but that narrative got thrown out there a lot. And then over the summer, and I didn't know Andrew Burnett at all, other than I remember him as the original Predator, right? That 1 year he was there, so I didn't have any foresight of this guy could become the Predators coach. Nothing like that. But I was thinking, here's a guy that has some Predators ties, so I was paying some attention. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you not want him back to be the coach? I don't understand it. But they let him sort of twist in the wind throughout the summer. They let him hang, and then they moved in a different direction. They hired Paul Maurice, who is a very good, established coach, has been around for a long, long time. And Andrew Burnett, in a couple of public interviews, not on Hockey Night in Canada or anything, but he has said it. He goes, it hurt not to get that job, you know, after the job that they did. So I think you won't hear him. He will say all of the even-keeled things. He is not going to say
it.
It's just like a player.
You circle it.
And I think here's the other thing, that the players are going to want to win for him, I think, on Thursday.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be something to watch on Thursday. It'll be a great plot. It's on ESPN Plus. I don't get to call the game. We'll have it here on 102.5 The Game. But that'll be good drama coming up on Thursday night. So just another thing to add to your plate as the NCAA tournament gets started as well. So there'll be plenty of games on Thursday night, hockey and basketball.
There we go.
There you go. So when we come back, we've got another topic to get to you. Before the day is over, too, I want to get some people's opinions on what we should call this line of Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, and Cole Smith. That's something we've got to tackle. Jonathan Hutton coming up at noon. We've got a lot coming here on 102.5 The Game. Stay tuned. We're just getting started.
John, looks like the Titans have reportedly signed defensive tackle Sebastian Joseph Day. He's been with the Rams, the Chargers, the 49ers. Don't know how much of a big deal that is, but they needed some help up front to go along with Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, it's not a big deal because he's bounced around like a pinball, but what they can get out of him, be part of a rotation. You guys know how much it hurt to miss Simmons last year. He was one of the best in the NFL. And if you got that problem of needing interior defensive lineman, and it is amazing to me. I've just gone over top 150 free agents on The Athletic, top 100 on NFL.com, top 100 Pro Football Talk. Defensive tackles, you know how many is out there? 38-year-old Calais Campbell. You can get ends, corners, safeties, wide receivers, but the defensive tackles were gobbled up or re-signed. And so if you can get a guy like that, it is very, very impressive. The Texans have made big-time changes. It's not often a team goes from 32 to 6 against the run, and they have 3 defensive linemen who are gone. Jonathan Grenard signed with Minnesota, and they replaced him with Daniil Hunter from Minnesota. Sheldon Rankins, who played really well, got $13 million a year to go to Cincinnati, and they wouldn't pay that. And then they traded their other starter for the last 3 years, Malik Collins, to the 49ers for 7. So we know what's going to happen with Autry and Hunter. but their top priority, because there's nobody in free agency, they're going to have to use, I believe, one of their two second-round picks on a defensive tackle. And so if you can get a guy like that, you better jump on it.
John McClain, always full of wisdom. That is one of the latest pickups for the Titans. It seems like they've turned over their entire team. Some people, when they see they've added all these guys, don't really in their mind account that they've let some guys go because they weren't very good. They've let them walk. So they're just replacing guys who weren't that great before. So what kind of upgrade do they have? I don't know. But it is exciting. They have spent a lot of money. So is it Jonathan Day, the name of the guy that they got?
Sebastian Joseph Day.
Right. And I think he prefers to go by Sebastian Joseph, if I read the email correctly there.
Okay.
So drop the day, he says. I guess at 1-9 it was. Either way, depth guy for the rotation. But D-Mace, the saga continues. We're going to get into this some with Jonathan Hutton at noon of just where the net result is going to be here. And, of course, still got the draft. Still got a long way to go. As Ozzie Newsome told us last week, you don't play until September. So you're still shaping the roster here with this brand-new coaching staff, new era coming up, which is going to be exciting. That is the fun part. It's a fresh start with all of this. So that's why I keep saying keep your expectations at nothing. Just expect nothing and just see what they've got. I think that's what the message should be from the team. Maybe not from the coaching staff or the locker room. They don't have to go by that. Just like Andrew Brunette, when he was saying, hey, you guys rebuilding? He'd say, no, we're not rebuilding.
No.
No. He just flat out said no. He didn't get told by the, you know, the marketing guy in the Predator say, oh, yeah, don't, you know, yeah, just,
don't say.
Yeah, just, say we're rebuilding. You know, just. He didn't tell him what to say. He was like, no, in our locker room, we're trying to win. I think that should be what Brian Callahan does. But I think from the team, just I think keep it wide open, see what happens. And with all these new faces, who knows what could happen here. But they continue to take a look, and there's now a defensive back that seems to be on the radar here that
two
we'll see. With and they definitely need one.
Yeah, they definitely
at least
need
one.
Tre'Davious White is scheduled to take a visit. I don't know the exact date, but there's three teams that he's scheduled to take a visit with, and the Tennessee Titans are one of those teams. Now, this is a former first rounder, but over the last three seasons, he hasn't played much football. And he is scheduled to visit the Rams, Titans, and Giants per Adam Schefter. But this is a guy that hadn't played much football in the last couple of years. And he, you know, he missed three games in 20. Well, yeah, two games in 20. 21, he missed five games. 22, he only played six games. Last season, he only played four games. I don't know exactly what the injury was, but it was significant enough that, you know, over the last three seasons or four seasons combined, he's missed a considerable amount of games. And this was a position where you had injuries and it hampered you. So I don't know, you know, why the Titans, other than possibly depth, but I don't know why the Titans would, you know, bring him in considering, you know, his injury history over the years. He hadn't played a complete season in four seasons. He hadn't finished a season in four seasons.
I'm sure after the saga of Christian Fulton.
Exactly. Fulton.
Titans fans are probably sitting there, really? You're going to bring in a guy that can't stay healthy?
Exactly.
We've seen that. We've done that.
Now, the kid has ability. Again, he's a former first rounder. He has ability. But I guess Buffalo saw the same thing. That's why Buffalo, in turn, I think they end up drafting cornerbacks high because he couldn't stay on the field. So it'll be interesting to see what the Titans will do after him taking a visit here.
Right now, what's left over at the farmer's market is the leftovers, right? The first wave is gone. Those are the high-priced guys, and this is the nature of free agency, which is what we've been saying. At least what I think we've been saying on this show is it's hard to buy your way back into contention in 1 year. You're trying to make gains, but the reason that all of this is at the flea market or the farmer's market is because these are not perfect players, right? And so this is a good example, I think, of you're trying to find the right value for a guy like that. Corners, you have to have, right? You're going to the farmer's market and you're saying, I gotta have green peppers. I gotta find, so if you go to the farmer's market and you're looking in the section where they have the green peppers, and it's just, oh, these aren't great green peppers, either. Man.
But
these,
you need them.
But I gotta have them. Yeah. I make it. I gotta have them. So you gotta take what's there, and so you have to figure out what can I pay? Like, what are these worth? So you're trying to assign a good value. They have to have defensive backs. They don't have enough, right? John Michael Bunting is gone. They brought in the Awuzie and. They probably need to draft another one. They've got McCreary, but you need a lot of guys in the secondary.
Awuzie, I don't think, is their long-term fix. He's not a long-term fix.
Right. So, but in the meantime, you've got to have some stopgap. Otherwise, you have a bunch of Trey Avery's out there, which they might. And there's something to be said for those guys.
No, we don't
guys.
Need more Trey Avery's.
But there's something to be said for those guys, because at some point, you need to fill out your depth with guys like that who can get you by.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm still wondering, what the defense at the end of the summer, and as they go into training, what will it look like? Because we've had a lot more headlines than what we're spending on the offense. And on the defense, there's still a lot of question marks.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, they don't, as much as they could, you know, use just cornerback play, and having a Trey Avery on your team isn't necessarily bad, but he can't be your starter. You know, he can't be your starter. He has to be a depth piece. He has to be, you know, a guy that can come in, but also he's primarily your special teams guy. But he can come in and give you some plays, or if somebody gets hurt, you know, he can come in and maybe give you a game. Probably no more than that. But, you know, they need to fill out that position. They need to fill it out with good players, but we know they're not going to get, you know, three or four all-pro, Pro Bowl type players. You know, going down this Tre'Davious White road, a guy that has been injured. He's somewhat of a bigger corner, you know, out of LSU. So, you know, obviously he has a skill set, but the problem with him is he's been injured. He hasn't been on the field long enough, because I'm sure, you know, had he been on the field, he wouldn't still be a free agent right now. And I think a lot of teams are probably concerned about his health moving forward, if indeed you're going to make him a starter, you know, with, you know, on your team. Also, you know, there's, you know, the Ladarius Sneed thing has come back up. You know, it seems like potentially the Titans, along with some other teams, may be working or been trying to work on something, a deal to potentially get Ladarius Sneed as well.
I'm really curious to see where that goes, because I think this is where, especially with a younger, more inexperienced GM, a first-time GM in Rand Carthon, does he go out and say, let's go for it? You know, like, just everybody was kind of curious what Barry Trotz would do, right? How does they knew what David Poyle did. Like, experienced GMs, they got to know David Poyle. You kind of know how he goes about things. There's a wild card when you have a newer GM that hasn't been through the league. The other GMs maybe don't know him as much. So they're trying to figure out what makes him tick. So this is an interesting one. Do you go out and do that? I think conventional, to me, I still don't think they're a Jarius Sneed away from being where they want. Case in point, AFC South odds from Jimmy Shapiro, who is not the end-all be-all.
But he is
Jimmy Shapiro,
a part of the end-all.
The late Jimmy the Greek, who got into all kinds of trouble. Back in the day, Jimmy the Greek was the guy before he revealed himself to be who he was. But there was a lot of – there's always those odds makers out there, right? It's just their opinion. It's just how they said it. But – they have Jimmy Shapiro. The Texans is the favorite to win the South, plus 150. The Jags, plus 200. The Colts, plus 275. And the Titans, plus 900. So they are, by far, predicted fourth in the four-team division.
Mm-hmm.
Would getting Snead change those odds a lot? I don't think so. Now, maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy, to me, that's not odds to me that say they're one player away. Now, this is before the draft, right? This is before training camp, and you see what kind of chemistry and what kind of effect the new coaching staff has. There's a lot of things that cannot be predicted right now because we just don't know. But these are indications of just where the roster is right now.
Yeah, the roster needs to be built up.
But one guy, if they got
one
Snead
guy
tomorrow,
is
how much do you look at the team differently? I still see some holes.
I see holes, but I see also, playmakers, guys that can be, if indeed your team is going to. Sort of make that turnaround, it's going to be because of guys like Ladarius Snead or guys like Cushenberry that you went out and got, or guys like Calvin Ridley or Awuzie, guys like that. I think if you're just basing it on one individual, say bring Ladarius Snead here to Nashville, if it was just him singular, then I don't think it changes the odds much. But I think once you put him on one side, Awuzie on the other, then what you have up front, coupled with what you have done on the offensive side of the ball thus far, now it will change again once you get into the draft. I think it should change your odds. It's not going to change your odds much.
Yeah.
But I think it should change your odds because it's not just the singular. It's adding the singular to what's already there. It's the whole.
That's the beauty of the NFL and the parity, right? And I think we were all in this mode last year. If everything goes right, same thing with the year before when they had the wheels fall off.
Yes.
You're sitting there at 7-3, everything's going fine, and the wheels fell off. And then last year, the wheels fell off, right? Tannehill got hurt, and then Simmons got hurt, and they lost some close games. But every team can be good enough to where if things go right, you get luck with some health. You get the schedule to line up a little bit. You could find a way to get to 9, 10 wins.
And players like this, if you have them on your team, it helps.
And at the same time, if you get a top-heavy roster and the wrong three guys get hurt, then you're sunk, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the tricky thing when you're starting something new like the Titans are. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, when we come back, we're going to come back to this at noon with Jonathan Hutton. We'll get into this, and we're getting into some Tennessee basketball and the pressure on Rick Barnes to do well in this tournament. Mm. All right, when we come back to, I want to throw the 5-12 games at you, D-Mace, and let's make. Because the 5-12s are always fun.
Yes.
There's always a 12 that wins. Always. Always. Sometimes more 12s win than the 5s win. And this year is no exception. So we're going to look at those matchups, and we're going to say, all right, who wins the 12-5 games? That's coming up in the next segment here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates. And also, we're going to give away some free tickets to a Predators game during the 1 o'clock hour. So in the meantime, text us at 737-1025, area code 615-737-1025. It's a big game. Next Tuesday, the Golden Knights are in town. The defending champs and battling with the Predators for playoff position right now in the wild card. Right now, the Predators are ahead of the Golden Knights. But I need a nickname for the Sherwood, McCarron, Cole Smith line. Everybody's kicking around. It hasn't clicked in my head yet. We call them, there's that line again. We always say it, but we can't come up with a name. Mace and I cannot come up with a name.
Oh, we're going to come up with a name. We're going to come up with a name.
Kiefer Sherwood said meat and potatoes last night. Now, because it came from him, I'm going to say, all right, I'll consider it. But I still don't know. It's not clicked in my head. That's the one. You know, sometimes you hear it, like, that's it. Some other ones have been floated around. I still don't know. But hit the text. We want to see who's got the best suggestion, and we'll give you tickets during the 1 o'clock hour to the Predators-Golden Knights game next Tuesday. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up in Tennessee to bet. We look at the 12-5 matchups next. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace rolling on. Remember, a pair of tickets to see the Predators and the Golden Knights Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena. Big game. Big game. Text in your vote, your suggestion for how to name this identity line that has been starting every game for the Predators during this point streak. Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith. Kind of like blue-collar guys.
Yeah.
They make close to the league minimum. They've had to fight their way on the roster. They're all having career years. They've outscored the competition 9-2 when they've been on the ice during this point streak. They've been a huge catalyst. McCarron had two goals last night. McCarron had 11 goals in his NHL career before this year. He's got 11 this year. So, I mean, it's really been something. Like, the team, they're inspiring the rest of the team. But we got to get a line name for these guys.
Yeah, I would say they're balling, but it's not. There's no ball. So they're hockeying. I don't know. They're pucking.
Yeah, got to be careful when you say that.
Exactly. They're pucking.
With a P.
but fans out there, they're all from the Midwest.
Right.
You got Michigan, Ohio, and Minnesota. Nick did throw out there. The mom line, Michigan, Ohio, Minnesota.
If they're mama's boys, I mean, it works.
Yeah, it works.
All right. But during the 1 o'clock, we're going to try to make the call, and the best submission here is going to win the tickets. So 615-737-1025. Already people are weighing in on this. They've been thinking about this, too, because on the broadcast, we've been throwing this up. There's that line again. What do we call them? No-name line? Like, remember the 72 Dolphins?
Mm-hmm.
The undefeated team, they were called the no-name defense,
yes.
Right? Because they never could come up with a nickname, I guess. They weren't the Purple People Eaters or the Steel Curtain or the Doomsday Defense.
Mm-hmm.
The no-name defense. Surely we could do better than that, right? We got to come up with something.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with something.
The Tool Belt line?
I guess so.
I don't know.
All right, so
the Midwest Monsters? I don't know.
The Monsters of the Midwest?
Yes, that's already taken, ain't it? The Monsters of the Midwest?
The Bears were the name? Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, Midway.
The Midway.
Yeah.
The Midway Airport, Chicago, Midway. That's
so the Monsters of the Midwest. I like that one. I like that one.
Some people are coming up with some funny stuff here. Nick, monitor this stuff. We're going to have we're going to see what happens here. But we'll have some fun with that during the 1 o'clock hour. Jonathan Hutton at noon. We'll talk about Rick Barnes and Tennessee, but let's talk about the 12-5 matchups here, D-Mace. How about this one to start with? Gonzaga, who's always in the tournament, but they're not as powerful as they've been. They're a 5 seed against McNeese State, coached by Nashvilleian Will Wade, who is, was kind of thrown to the
name's been floating
to
around
oblivion
here
for a while, and he's resurfaced, and he's got a powerful McNeese State game. On paper, I'm looking at KenPom. McNeese State is just like most 12 seeds. They match up okay. This is not a mismatch at all. It's about a 6-point line. I don't know what it is on DraftKings or Zen Sports or any of the other things that we consult sometimes, but on KenPom it's 6. What do you think? McNeese State and Will Wade. Everybody's like, you got to hire Will Wade for Vanderbilt. You got to look at him. He's good. I don't know. I kind of like the Zags here. I'm hard pressed to see an upset here. But McNeese State's got some talent.
Yeah, I can see because there's other 5-12 matchups that I'm looking at as well. But that can be a potential upset.
Okay. So is there one you like better?
The
other choices are James Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's tough, and they just came off of beating. The number one seed, who is the number one seed now, Purdue. They end up beating Purdue in the Big Ten Championship, took it to overtime and won that game. So them losing to James Madison.
James Madison is 31-3.
They're good at the foul line.
31-3. And James Madison is not in Madison, Wisconsin.
No.
Just to, it's in Virginia, just for those. The Dukes, James Madison.
Yes.
31-3. Let's take a look and see what the line is. KenPom has that one.
5.5.
5.5?
That's what
Wisconsin?
That's what I see.
Man. I watched JMU in their conference finals. It's the only time I've seen them play.
McNeese State is also 5.5.
And McNeese State has a huge record, too. What is their record during the regular season? Dominant. 30-3. So these are two 30-win teams that are 12 seeds.
And just for those who – just a little tidbit for those who may pick a 12 over a 5 – since 1985, a 12 seed, they It said number 12 seed have a 53-99 record against five seeds since 1985. At least one 12 seed win per year. Now, yeah. There was one year where they almost had all four 12 seeds yeah. win, but this is where you're going to more than likely get your upset.
This is 12, this is a big
12 5 seed.
And yeah. there's a rare time or two where the 12 seed is actually favored over mm-hmm. the 5 seed for one reason or another. The other two are UAB and San Diego State. Remember, San Diego State was in the Final Four last mm-hmm. year. They lost in the finals of their conference tournament this year to New Mexico. So they're good. Again, they seem to be good every year. And then the other one is Bryce Drew's Grand Canyon team against St. Mary's. And St. Mary's, of course, is a perennial participant in this thing.
Mm-hmm. That could be a potential upset.
That's an interesting one, too. I mean, I'm picking with my heart a little bit. I like Bryce Drew. Good man. Good rebound after the nightmare that got him out of there in a hurry with Vanderbilt. And a lot of coaches around the league were, they canned him already? He's resurfaced well. That's a good one.
You know, the crazy part about that, Willie, I can potentially see within that region right there, I could potentially see two upsets. Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's and Charleston beating Alabama.
Okay. So that would be a 4 and a 12.
Yeah.
Okay, and that has happened where a 12 and a 13 win, and then the next thing you know, it's a 12 versus a 13 to mm-hmm. see who goes to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. So people are, if you're picking, that may be one you may look at picking.
All right. So let's boil it down and make the call. I'm going to say two win. I'm going James Madison and Grand Canyon as the 12s.
Okay, I'm picking.
All four have got a shot.
Yeah,
all four have got a shot. I say two win.
I think McNeese State.
You're going McNeese State?
Yes, and where was the other one?
The other one was UAB against.
I think San Diego State. That one. But
Grand Canyon?
Yeah, I'm looking at two. I think there could be a potential. If we're basing it on the odds, there are going to be at least one. But I got two.
You're going two.
Yeah, I'm going two.
And you're going McNeese State and Grand Canyon.
And McNeese State.
All right.
My two are the ones that you picked, Willie. But with the heart, I'm going through with McNeese State. I think three of four might actually.
Three out of the four. Okay.
Yeah.
It's happened before. As we said, it's not crazy.
It's a healthy bunch.
Yeah. All right, we'll have more fun with the brackets a little later in the show. Plus, keep your texts coming on how to name that Michael McCarron line. That line. What do we name it? And also, you got to sign up and play the 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge, right, for your chance to win great prizes, including a four-day pass to Bonnaroo. The teams have been selected. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge. Take our advice or go opposite of our advice. Pick all the fives if you want. That's just part of the fun. The 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jonathan Hutton coming up next to join us.